For an even better way to listen to Football Weekly at home, at work or on the go, head to soundcloud.com/Guardian Football Weekly or download the SoundCloud app for Android and iPhone.
Confederations Cup Football Daily with James Richardson.
Confederations Cup Football Daily with Saturday's action. In Salvador, it's a goal for all medieval literature as Dante kickstarts 6-goal thriller. Fred and Neymar chip in as Brazil top the group. Elsewhere, Chicharito cheech and gone as Little P signs off, scoring 2 and missing a penalty in Mexico's clash with Japan. Now Sunday brings us Group B's finale. Spain, Nigeria, Uruguay and Tahiti, all 4 could still go through. It's the crazy world of the Confederations Cup here on Football Daily. Happy smiling faces abound here in the pod after an exceptional Saturday night of football courtesy of Brazil and Italy. Also available, Mexico and Japan. This first group of the competition comes very much to an end. And here to salute its passing, we have Jacob Steinberg.
Hello, James.
Hi, Jacob. You say that like you've got an agenda.
An agenda?
Yeah. Did Noel get an agenda? Oh, okay. And James Horncastle.
Hello.
Hey. Terrific. Hello, you listener. Are you well? I bet you enjoyed that Brazil-Italy game. It was great. Well, let's be fair. The second half was great, eh, Jacob?
Yeah, the first half was quite bitty. A lot of fouls. It was a very strange opening minute where Brazil could have scored about 3 times in the first 60 seconds. And you kind of thought Italy were going to have a real horrible time out there. And then suddenly it just got very scrappy. A lot of fouls. Neymar showed that he can, you know, give it under as much as he takes it. You know, he put Abate out of the game with a kind of little snide challenge, I think, and he ended up possibly, according to Dr. Lawrence, dislocating his shoulder because he can tell pain. He can tell where someone's hurting.
Doc Loro?
Yeah. Mm. And then Italy kind of came into it a little bit. Balotelli had a chance, and right on half-time, another free kick, another foul, and Dante, back in his hometown, opened the scoring. And from then on, it was a great game.
Dante running rings around the Italians. Hey?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hell.
Yeah.
Paradise
now,
for him.
What about the second half then? Because then the Italians came out and they've not technically been perhaps the greatest Italy side we've ever seen. But in terms of spirit, James.
Yeah, well, that's... I just saw what Prandelli was saying after the game, and he was praising them for the way they reacted. Before the game, he also wanted them to be kind of courageous. He thought that if they just sat and defended for 90 minutes... then it would be, you know, it'd be pretty miserable. But you know, I think for the first half they were just too passive, really. They didn't really have any attacking threat. But when they needed to take the game to Brazil, they really did. And I think, you know, when it was 3-2, you fancied them to get an equaliser more than say Brazil to push on and get that 4.
They're very direct in this tournament, aren't they, the Italians?
Yeah, although I think there was a nice touch with Balotelli's flick on for Giaccherini. Remember, against Mexico, it was Giaccherini who flicked it on for Balotelli. I think Giaccherini, for you know, a sort of no-name kind of guy, Giaccherino, he's had a fairly decent tournament. He's one of those players who is coaches love because he's just so... He's like a Swiss Army knife. He can play anywhere, do you know what I mean? And because he's kind of...
Roughly the same size as well, handily enough. But anyway, that was Italy who lost the game. Brazil with the 4 goals, 2 of them from Fred. How about that?
I know, and a lot of people were, you know, this kind of sums up where Brazil are at the moment, possibly. A lot of people are saying that Fred should be dropped and Joe, the former Manchester City striker, should come in for him. But again, he didn't do a lot, and you look at him and you do wonder whether that's a striker who's going to be winning you a World Cup. But that first goal he scored particularly was very nice.
Really,
the way
nice.
He held off Chiellini and then crashed it into the top corner past Buffon, who I don't think had a very good game.
Well, that's fair. Here's Adam joining in the chorus of murmurs and grumblings about the great Gigi's performance. He says, how long until Italy need to look for Buffon's successor, and do they have one, James?
I think that's a bit harsh. I mean,
at some point they will need one. He's 35.
Well, I think they're fairly confident at look. I mean, Buffon is arguably, with Dino Zoff, the greatest goalkeeper in Italian football history, one of the greatest of all time. So filling his glove, so to speak, is always going to be difficult. But they do have a number of decent goalkeepers behind him. You know, you think of Sirigu, who's just won the French league with PSG, even someone like Viviano. Probably the best goalkeeper in Serie A this year was Marchetti, Federico Marchetti at Lazio. You know, and he replaced Buffon when he got injured at the 2010 World Cup, which was a disaster, and I think he got associated with that unfairly. But going back to Fred, apparently he used to rock up to Lyon when he was at Lyon with a white Stetson on, which I think is, you know, pretty pimping. But as for Brazil, he seems to be playing the same team all of the time. Because yeah, he's kind of fed up with, yeah, I think Manu Menezes did enough experimenting as it was, and he just wants this 11 more or less the same 11 players to get used to playing together. And you're seeing how, you know, they're getting some kind of tactical coherence to their game. They're getting used to playing with each other, they understand each other a lot better. And yeah, I think look at Neymar. I think yeah, his free kick was great tonight. He scored in every game in this tournament. I think he's coped relatively well with the pressure of playing at home.
Do you think they're improving with every game?
I think one of the things to pick up on is whenever you listen to the commentators, they always talk about Brazil's defence being a little bit shaky. Mm. Well, in actual fact, they went into this game having not conceded a goal in the tournament. And Luiz's partnership with Thiago Silva is actually quite good. I think they've only lost twice when they've both started. And he was Italy didn't score until after Luiz had gone off. So I mean, they've got some solidity there. They've obviously got the two kind of sentinels in front of him, Paulinho and Luiz Gustavo, whoever it is. And they've got players like Neymar, whatever, who can win a game by themselves if needs be. Mm. So I went into this tournament very sceptical of Brazil, and I think they're probably making people feel a lot more confident about them going into the.
I'm still not sure about them. I think that we'll get the real test when you imagine that they'll play Spain, because I think Italy is still a way off Spain. I think there are some sort of so-so players in this Italy side, as much as they can kind of grimly hang on in games and suddenly make you look foolish like they did against Germany at the Euros last summer. But I think Brazil are quite a distance off Spain at the moment, and probably Germany as well, and maybe Argentina. Again, you look at it and sometimes they don't seem to quite believe themselves, and there are periods in that game today where they drifted quite a lot, and when Italy did come at them, particularly the fullbacks, I thought there was a lot of space to be exploited there. I'm not sure they're as, you know, in the Roberto Carlos or Cafu mould, Marcelo and Alves at the moment.
Mm. Well,
Briefly going back to Italy, I mean, if you look at, I think they've conceded, conceded obviously four tonight, three against Japan, one against Mexico, and then four against Spain. So in their last tournament game, I think in the last four tournament games, they've conceded about 12 goals.
Wow.
Which is, you know, for Italy. Is, you know,
tonight, of course, they were missing De Rossi.
And Pirlo.
But from a more defensive point of view then. Mind you, having said that, I believe I'm right in saying that no player, I saw an extraordinary stat the other day saying that no player won more balls in midfield than Pirlo in the
anticipation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't need to be charging around Lee Cattermole style.
Right.
Just be in the right place.
Mm, you first 5 metres in your head.
Like Teddy Sheringham, yeah.
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 Good. Japan and Mexico were also in action, although for them it was their farewell to the tournament. Our man at the Mineirão, there in Minas Gerais, was Jack Lang, and he is very much on the phone now. Jack, you're there outside the Mineirão.
That's right. Sat next to an X-ray machine, so you can almost hear the glamour.
Right, absolutely. Any scenes of unrest before, or indeed now, presently, after the game, outside the ground?
Not in this part. The concourse is relatively quiet. In the stadium, there are a few signs up, the effect that, you know, it's money that should be being spent on education and health is being spent on these stadiums, which is obviously a big part of these protests.
Hmm.
Seems slightly incongruous to be protesting in the stadium, but of course, you know, the groups that are angry about Brazil's social situation and the fans that are watching football, obviously there's a huge overlap in this country.
Right, plus if you want to get your message across, then an event that's being witnessed around the world is not a bad place to start. How was Japan and Mexico?
It was a real game of two halves. The first half was just a case of can't shoot, won't shoot. I mean, Mexico were getting into good positions but just shanking everything. Japan were working it really nicely, that kind of tippy-tappy, like Tokyo tucker, if you will. Very nice, but we had to wait for the second half for the goals to come. Chicharito Hernandez was easily Mexico's best player, really. He was rewarded for a bit of opportunism on two occasions. Japan fought back, much to the delight of the crowd, who were really getting behind them in the end. And, yeah, Mexico had a chance to kill it off right at the death with a Hernandez penalty, but he missed. That probably got the biggest cheer of the night, ironically, because that set up 4 minutes of quite thrilling kind of injury time. But unfortunately, it just wasn't to be for Japan, much to the disappointment of the crowd.
Mm. Amid the growing movement demanding change in Brazil, is there an appreciation of the quality of this Confederations Cup? I mean, if you thought before, a couple of months ago, there'll be a Confederations Cup, Brazil will do really well, the football will be really good, you'd imagine the entire population going absolutely spare at with their desire to get onto the World Cup. But at the moment, the message is very much dominated by what it's cost them rather than what it can bring.
Yeah, it's a real dilemma at the moment because... From my point of view, from what I've seen, it's been really well run inside the stadiums, inside the kind of, when you get inside the few streets they've closed off around the stadium, things have been excellent. It's been well signed, volunteers have been, you know, full of information, seats have been ideal, everything is clean and tidy inside. When I was in the Maracanã last week, I heard some guy say to his friend in the toilet, "Jesus, look, we've got paper towels in the toilets. What an emotional moment." So for all the protest movement that's occurring, I think probably the fact that this has actually been done quite well inside the stadiums has been overlooked. Of course, the issue there is that, you know, at a cost of £9 billion and rising, it's expected to be rather well done.
Yeah, £9 billion and rising, as you say. Romario coming up with some fairly forthright comments about how President of Brazil is called FIFA and adding his voice to the number of people saying that Brazil just don't need the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult because had you asked any Brazilian a month or so ago what their feelings were about the World Cup, there would have been, of course, trepidation about the spending. But I'm sure the feeling would have been very positive because this is a country that more than anything loves its football. But that kind of feeling that things have been done in just the wrong manner. I mean, when the World Cup bid was won, Ricardo Teixeira, who was then the president of the CBF, he promised that most of the funding for the stadiums, the infrastructure, would come from private funding. That just hasn't turned out to be the case. It's estimated that about 85% of all spending has come from the public purse. And talking about just the stadiums themselves, that number goes up to 95%, which is just incredible.
Mm.
So there's a real sense that the country is feeling the burden of this, if not through the stadiums themselves, which are really nice, just through opportunity costs where that money could have gone.
Jack Lang, a.k.a. Snap Kakar Pop on the Twitter. Great. The Japanese, so farewell then. But they won lots of friends, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so.
More than the Mexicans, I'm thinking.
Aside from the performance against Brazil, I think the way they did against Italy, when many people thought they deserved to win that game, and also from what Jack was saying, they played really good stuff tonight. You know, it comes down to the fact that they have... you know, they have some very good technically gifted players in Kagawa and Kazuki Honda. You know, there's the sort of lament that they don't have a striker. Remember, there was it Takayuki Morimoto, the Japanese Ronaldo, partly because he was bald and had buck teeth, who never made it at Catania. But you know, they I think it's the 20th anniversary of the J League this year, and
is it?
Yeah, you can see how the expansion of that league. I think they've got a third division now, so it keeps growing and growing and growing, and they're producing really good players. So, Kawashima, the goalkeeper, he saved another penalty tonight, which Hernandez, he could have scored a hat trick, saw it saved, and it went onto the bar. Kawashima, I think, he's a decent goalkeeper. He's saved two penalties in the semi-final of the Asian Cup, which Japan won under Zaccheroni. So they've got, you know, Ishida was, I think, the first Japanese player to play in the Champions League semi-final. Just love it.
Yeah, crikey. anyway, now, on Sunday, we find out who Brazil and Italy are going to be playing in the semi-finals when Group B completes its group stage. Spain, Nigeria, Uruguay and Tahiti. Did you know, Jacob, all four sides could still go through?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? Spain, if they lose to Nigeria and Uruguay thrash Tahiti, the world champions are in trouble. Tahiti can go through. If Spain beat Nigeria, and the Iron Warriors beat Uruguay by more than 16 goals.
16?
Just more than 16.
Right.
We might see 16. Do you know, everyone's been a little bit delicate with Tahiti so far. Spain got to 10 without really busting a gut. I quite fancy Uruguay to get nasty on them.
What? So, yeah.
Suarez.
Suarez principally, yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, you can't imagine him having too much sympathy if it gets to that point. I think he'll just keep on going.
Take a bite out of an Iron Warrior. That'd be,
yeah.
I think it was he could have become Uruguay's all-time top scorer had he scored the other night. Mm. And Forlan scored, who's the guy who he'd overtake. So Forlan nudged ahead on the night of his 100 caps. So it might become a duel between them.
That'd be great.
Because I think the quite interesting thing about Uruguay is Tabarez has been playing all three together, Forlan, Cavani and Suarez. So that doesn't put that's going to be quite a handful for Tahiti.
It certainly will. They combine nicely against Uruguay.
Mm.
Mm.
You could see Suarez doing something preposterous in this game, but the kind of game where, you know, handball on the line or gratuitously offside goal or something.
Yeah. Right. A little Cavani stat for you in his bid to scupper any hope of Napoli receiving a fat payout for his services. He scored only 5 times in his last 27 outings for Uruguay, compared to 11 in 15 for Luis Hungry Suarez. More on that Tahiti game, but Tahiti coach Eddie Etta has promised to give all 3 of his goalkeepers a game in Brazil. Possibly all 3 in this game, if he's got any sense you'd like to see that. Just
one for each Uruguayan striker.
Yeah, stick 3 men in between the posts. Why not?
You're not allowed to do that, that's why.
I know you're not. But even in the Confederations Cup, they're Tahiti, come on. Who's going to say no, Tahiti, you can't?
Suarez.
All right, you're right. He's been in gold himself, of course, isn't he? Controversial fella.
There's been 3 quite great free kicks, haven't there, in the Confed Cup now. Suarez is Pirlo's and Neymar's. I think Pirlo's is my favourite still.
Yeah, Pirlo's are the best, I think.
You prefer Pirlo's, did you?
Against Mexico, yeah.
But Neymar's this evening was a bit special as well, in an entirely different way.
Yeah, it was very flat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But it didn't really go in the top corner, but kind of looked like it did when it was in real time and then seemed to be quite low. Maybe that's why Buffon didn't seem to see it.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there, whether Buffon was on side, because he seemed to be in a good position for it.
He's finished, that's what happened. He's 35. Maybe time happened.
I think it's been quite unfortunate, the quarterfinal against, first leg against Bayern, you know, within a minute, Alaba scores that sort of, I think it was a very strange deflection off Arturo Vidal. Yeah.
Yeah. To carry on right away.
It was very strange. And then tonight, you know, he's come on the, I think he's still an extremely good goalkeeper.
Hmm.
It's just, you know, these are bright lights and it's a Confederations Cup.
And they're all humid, like the Italians can't handle it. They don't have hot weather in Italy.
Well, these days, of course.
Yeah.
Who does? Anyway, so we figure Tahiti used
going through.
To score, they could do that to score 16 against Uruguay, but can Spain beat Nigeria? That's the other component of that.
Of course, a repeat of game at 98 World Cup when Nigeria won 3-2.
Yeah. Of course.
A horrible error by Zubizarreta. Mm. That's why Spain went out, you know, when they were.
I think he's passed it.
Rubbish Spain.
Old Spain.
Yeah, rubbish Spain.
Right.
Underachieving.
When
there
were dark
Spain.
Horses.
Yeah. Raul.
Yeah. Oh, he scored an amazing goal in that game. Volley over his shoulder.
Do you know that's the only time they'd ever lost to an African team? Spain.
Spain, everyone.
Spain.
All conquering Spain.
There you go. And what? So Soldado's back in the lineup. That's the story, despite the fact that Torres and David Villa got 7 between them against Tahiti.
He was very good in the first game.
Soldado?
Yep. Yeah. You know, and it was kind of, it was quite a relief for some people who thought Spain were being very indulgent by playing a false nine, you know, for much of the Euros, and you know, get back to an old-fashioned number nine like Bobby Soldado, let's call him.
Right.
Bobby
Goal.
Bobby Goal. Let's anglicise him or Manchini-ise him. So.
Yep.
We'll see.
Well, it does look a little bit cut and dry, doesn't it, Sunday? Spain clearly beat everybody all the time at every level. Well, they're doing it at the under-20s now.
Apparently so.
Yeah, they that started and they beat USA 4-1 in the first game, the under-20s. So they keep on keep on producing those players.
Extraordinary.
I know. What's the secret?
Depth.
Depth.
Profundidad. Is that what it is?
Very, very possibly.
Could be, yeah. Mm.
I don't know. If you just put didad at the end didad. Of the word, then that's, you know, that's Spanish.
All right. Well, anyway, so the Nigerian senior team will be their opponents tomorrow. And, Jacob, you're back tomorrow, so care to put a little wager there, stick your neck out about how many Uruguay will put past Tahiti?
10, 12?
Yeah,
12.
I think it's good. Yeah, 12. That'd be good.
I'm going to go under. I'm going to say 8.
All right, then.
Or even, yeah, actually, no, I'm going to go 7. Only 7.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's it for today's show. We'll be back on Sunday night, Monday morning, with our reaction to the last two group games and look forward to the semifinals, etc. Thanks ever so much for listening today. Thanks for being here, Jacob Steinberg and James Horncastle, and producer Ben. Speak to you soon.
CCFD with AC Jimbo. Worth.